Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 1. If you're here this morning, you may recognize some of the same kind of language as we had in Romans 13. God says this through the Apostle Paul. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. May God bless his word to us this evening. A picture is going to appear on the screen of a man with a wheelbarrow. This man, he's there at the very beginning of the building of this building, at the foundations being laid or whatever he's doing, I'm not quite sure. But he's got a wheelbarrow and his head is circled in red. And now I don't know who this man is. I haven't done my research that far. But let's assume for this evening that he's a Christian. And imagine that you travel back in time just under 80 years to speak to this man, and you explain to him that you're a Christian who's travelled back in time 80 years. I'm not quite sure how you explain that to him. Probably with a whiteboard or something, and diagrams, and you explain that you've travelled back in time, and you speak to him, and he says to you, well then, what's it like being a Christian in Lichard in 80 years' time, 80 years from now? What's it like being a Christian in Lichard? And he looks at you with these, holding his wheelbarrow still, with these excited eyes in his mind, thinking about all these visions of how the gospel has continued to bear fruit and grow and grow and grow and spread across Lichard, and all of the revivals that have taken place every other year, and all of the excitement of the work growing. And you look at him and you think, well, how do you break the news to him? How do you break the news to him as he looks at you with those excited eyes, looking ahead to the future from that point of something new? How do you break the news to him about all of the closed chapel buildings just a few minutes' drive from here? How do you break the news to him about declining church attendance across Wales and the UK and the West? How do you break the news to him that the best statistics we can have say that less than 3% of the population of the UK are born-again Christians? Less than 3%. How do you break the news to him that 80 years from where he's standing, many gospel churches in the UK are experiencing growth of about 0% on average? How do you break the news to him about Christians being marginalised in society and public life, so that even Christian charities that are working to alleviate poverty are being criticised and attacked for being too Christian? How do you break the news to him about the decline of Bible-based ethics in society, so that some Christian views on sexuality are now a minority view? What do you say? Or I could put it a different way for us here. Where's the encouragement for us on our 80th anniversary? In the future, from this man with the wheelbarrow, where's the encouragement for us this evening? This morning we saw that the last 80 years of Literature Mission have been 80 years of salvation getting nearer. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, says the Apostle Paul. The day of full and final salvation, the glorious revelation of our Saviour, the end of all darkness, is nearer now. And so this is a time for us to be alert. It's a time for us to be ready for action. It's a time for us to be excited and keep pressing on because the day is so near. But when the darkness is so dark, how do we keep pressing on? How do we stay alert? How do we stay ready for action? How can we stop ourselves just being overwhelmed with the darkness? Where's the encouragement for us on our 80th anniversary? Well, I want us to see some encouragement from something that's a bit shocking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Something a bit shocking. Let's look at the passage for a moment. Now, Paul is writing about the coming day of the Lord, the return of Jesus in power and majesty to bring judgment and salvation. And he says that this day will come suddenly, and many people will not be prepared for it. People will be living in darkness and confusion, rejecting God, living independently from him. They'll be saying, well, there's peace and security in verse 3. They'll be saying that everything's okay, they can live how they want, and it'll all be all right in the end. And then suddenly, the day of the Lord will come, and they'll realize how wrong they were. And these people who are enjoying their apparent peace and security, well, sudden destruction will come upon them, and they will not escape. These days of darkness and confusion, people rejecting God and facing his judgment eternally. These are the days that will come before the day of the Lord when Jesus returns. And it shouldn't really surprise us that there'll be this darkness. If you think about the whole history of humanity, from Genesis 3 onwards, humanity that's asserted its independence from God, thinking that it can be independent from God and still be all right and still have peace and security. A history of humanity that's chosen darkness instead of the light of God, that's chosen to go its own way, chosen to turn its back on God, not given him thanks, not listened to him. A rebellion that all of us have taken part in different ways. When we think about that history of humanity, it shouldn't surprise us that before Jesus comes, people won't be there ready and waiting for him, but people will be continuing to oppose him and reject him. It shouldn't surprise us when we see people who are rejecting the invitation to trust Jesus as Lord rather than themselves as Lord. It shouldn't surprise us when we see society wandering away from Bible-based morality. Really, it should surprise us why they have taken so long to get there. If the history of humanity has been asserting independence from God, it shouldn't really shock us too much, the darkness. The shocking thing in my mind in 1 Thessalonians 5 is not the darkness. It's the light. That's the shocking thing, isn't it? The light. Then this dark world of a world that's turned its back on God, that's God, still shines his light. I was originally planning to say something slightly different from this passage, but then I was really struck by verse 4 that begins with that wonderful Bible word, but. But you are not in darkness. But you are not in darkness. And I thought, wow, I'm not in darkness. But I've turned away from God. I've sinned, I've rebelled against him, I've rejected him, I've asserted my independence from him, I've indulged in works of darkness and spent much of my life walking without any care for him at all. And now, he says, you are not in darkness. I think of Ephesians chapter 2. The words of the first few verses will appear on the screen. And this is how it describes the human condition. It says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. You look at that description, it doesn't look very hopeful, does it? Dead. Trespasses and sins, following Satan, living among the sons of disobedience, children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And yet here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God says to us, well now, you are not in darkness. How are we described? Verse 5, you're all children of light, children of the day, not children of wrath, children of light. Children of the coming day of salvation. Children destined for eternal salvation. In fact, we're even told in verse 8 that we belong to the day where before we belonged among the sons of disobedience, following Satan, following the ways of this world. Now we're told we belong to the day of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. What a change. We're told that whether we're awake or asleep, whether we're alive or dead, in the world's perspective, we're alive with him, once dead in trespasses and sins, but now alive with him. 80th anniversary this year of our church, and the thing that should shock us and surprise us and amaze us and astound us the most is not how dark the darkness is, but the fact that we're children of light, called to stand against it. That we who once were in the darkness are now light. That there is a people of light here in Lichard that God has rescued and is keeping. The shocking thing is in our 2018 celebration is not the darkness, but the light. Now, some of you at this point, I can tell, are thinking, well, Adam, this is all very exciting, but where's the quiz? I know some of you this morning enjoyed the quiz, most of you didn't. But there is one more quiz question still to come. In a moment, not quite yet, James, but in a moment, a list of 18 names will appear on the screen behind me. And the question is, what's the connection between these 18 names? Now, you're not allowed to answer if your name is Maya or if your name is Carla. And I'd advise you, Mike, not to answer, because you'll just embarrass yourself further after your abysmal performance this morning. So the 18 names, what's the connection between these people? They're all baptized. If my information is correct, all baptized in the baptistry constructed here in 1985. It's not a complete list, by the way, before you send me angry letters about people I've missed off. It could have been a longer list. These are all people baptized here at Lichard Mission. But actually, that's not the only connection. There is another connection that I want us to see this evening. It's not just that they're baptized here, but all of these people on this list, these 18 names, something they have in common. They're all sinners. All people who have rebelled against God, our Creator. And no more or less than anyone else in this room. I'm not trying to highlight them for any particular reason. But the same as all of us, these people, some of you among them, sinners who've rebelled against God, people who deserve nothing from God except eternal judgment and darkness and wrath. And the fact that each one of these people has stood here publicly declaring their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Wow! What amazing mercy and grace. What shockingly, astoundingly amazing mercy and grace. And when you think about not just these people who were baptized here at Litchfield Mission, but those among us who were baptized elsewhere, who are trusting in Jesus Christ, people who deserve darkness and judgment, but now know Jesus and life in him forever and ever. Wow! What mercy! And when we think also about all the people who were baptized here, but have now gone elsewhere and are still following their Savior, what mercy. What grace. I mean, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that baptism is an immediate entry ticket into heaven. I'm not saying that if you appear on this list, then you automatically appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. The question is, what's your relationship with Jesus? Not have you been baptized? But here's the thing. The fact that this list has any names on it at all is a miracle, is amazing. All of these people, all of us, deserve nothing but darkness. We have no right to expect anything except God to leave us in the darkness. But now, here he says, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You're all children of light, children of the day. What mercy, what grace. These 80 years of Litchfield Mission, 80 years of us getting nearer and nearer and nearer to final full salvation. And 80 years of astounding mercy and grace and love. And that, friends, I think gives us some confidence as we look ahead to the future in a difficult, challenging, confusing, troubling time. Encouragement here for us to keep standing firm and to keep being alert. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes this to the Thessalonians. He wants them to be alert and to stand firm and to not live as if they're in the darkness, but to live as people in the light. But as he encourages them, he wants them to know why it is that they belong to the day, why it is they are children of light and children of the day. He wants them to know who it is who's done all of the hard work. God. And so he tells them, verses 9 and 10, having told them to stand firm. Well, why should they stand firm? Why? Because God has not destined us for wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. God has not destined us for wrath. We're destined ourselves for wrath by turning away from God and rejecting him and rebelling against him. But God changed our destiny, sending his son to this world to take the punishment we deserve. So instead, we can be told, if we're trusting him, destined for salvation, eternal life. And we're told about Jesus Christ, who died for us. We deserve to die, and to die forever. But Jesus died for us in our place, the place of his people, so that we can live with him forever. God's mercy, God's grace, God's work, God's love, God's initiative, God moving everything towards the glorious climax of history, it's God's work. And so when we look ahead and we think, well, there's a lot of darkness around at the moment in 2018, there's a lot of darkness in this world, how are we going to stand firm? Well, we're not going to be doing it in our own strength. But the God who changed us, the God who changed us from children of wrath to children of light, will surely keep us, his people, keep us through the darkness until we see that glorious day of salvation. We're not standing firm in our own strength. And as we think about reaching out into the darkness around us and we think about this great task we have in a nation where so few people are receptive to the gospel, it seems, well, we're not reaching out in our own strength. on our own, but the God who showed us mercy, well, can surely show mercy to others, and will continue to show mercy until the day of salvation comes. And some periods of the life of the church, we may see more people being saved and brought in than at other times. Sometimes are great times of harvesting, sometimes are times of patient sowing, and we don't see the fruit. But then we see the bigger picture, and we see that throughout the whole history of mission, however long that ends up being, God is merciful and gracious. We're evidence of it here this evening. 80 years of God's mercy and grace when we deserve nothing but darkness. But here we are this evening, children of light, children of the day. So we can look ahead with confidence into the future. And as we look ahead with confidence, one final thing, let's not forget verse 11. Encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. I praise God that this is a place of encouragement. Let's keep encouraging each other. We'd keep pressing on in His strength, not being overwhelmed by the darkness, to keep pressing on, to keep speaking these truths to each other, to keep reminding each other of what God has done, of all that is ours if we put our trust in Jesus, where we deserve wrath and darkness and judgment. Yet if we come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and put our trust in Him, then we can know salvation and life. God's shown that mercy to us. He can show it to others, and He'll keep us. We could go back to the guy with the wheelbarrow. You think, well, you travel back in time. What would you say to him? What would you say to him? What's it like being a Christian in 80 years? You say to him, well, it's still hard. It's hard. There's so much sad stuff. There's so many challenges, so many discouragements. But, friend, God is still merciful. And He will be until the end. So we keep trusting. We keep working for His glory. Amen.